Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Where am I going to go? Back? What? Back home? So Dad can...
What? Do what? What does he do to you?
He hits you, doesn't he?
Doesn't he?
Each other, why? This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Oh, Prince took the plane straight from Ted's house right over to my house. Welcome again to your favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. This is the second of a couple of live stream shows that we're doing in honor of the 1 year anniversary of our podcast. Who'd have thunk it? And welcome especially to all of our live commenters tonight. We're so happy that you're able to join us. I will be your host for this episode. It's Arlo coming to you from the COVID and chlamydia capital of Canada, Regina, Saskatchewan. And you can follow me on Instagram at ArloeScott. And joining me tonight, who do I have out there? Let's head over to the East Coast. Ted?
Oh, hello. It's I, Ted, from the East Coast. No chlamydia here, at least not in my house, not that I know of. But yeah, you can follow me, say WA3, why don't you do that? And yeah, go chlamydia. Oh, all right, we'll go over to Courtney. How's the chlamydia in your town, in O-Town?
Yeah, I haven't checked lately. I'm not sure the status of chlamydia, but... This STD talk makes me miss Barry, who I believe has told us he comes from the AIDS capital of Canada in Bay Roberts.
He does. Or it was for it held the title for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he lost the title in the championship match against...
Probably Winnipeg.
Yeah, fingers. Anyways, yeah, I'm from boring old Ottawa. Thanks for tuning in. We're live tonight. Celebrating still our 1 year anniversary. So thanks for everybody who's commenting, and a heads up to everybody listening to this not live. That's why you might hear some random comments from people that you don't normally hear from. Yeah, and just one other shout out. Check out our new Instagram filter. I've posted it in our Narbos and Broomheads Facebook group, and click on it on your phone and you can find out what Degrassi character you are.
And, so much fun.
And if you do, please share your video and tag us in it so we can see.
I got clutch because I'm obviously very attractive.
I got drunk mom, like Snake's drunk mom, Kathleen's drunk mom, played by Snake's mom, 3 times in a row.
Arlo got clutch because Courtney wants to bang her.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey. Yo. Hey. Yo.
Hey.
Anyways, let's head down to the T dot.
I mean, we got every STD in the book here. I'm sure. Like, it's Toronto. We got everything. Center of the universe. Center of the COVID universe. Center of the STD universe. Come to Toronto, everybody. The six. And I'm here. My name is Alan. on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. Follow this podcast at Narbo's Podcast on Twitter and on Facebook. Just search for Narbo's and Broomheads. That's where you will find our podcast group page and with our Instagram filter, as Courtney said. And yeah, show us who you are. I haven't done it yet. I'll have to figure out who I am. Maybe I'll do it right now.
Fucking Arthur. You're Arthur, hands down.
Shut up.
True.
Fetus baby, fetus, plastic fetus baby.
That's what I got.
That was what so character?
Yeah. You got it.
Okay, so where is this? Oh, here we go. No, this isn't it either. I can't find it. I don't think you posted it, Courtney.
You're dumb, fucking boomer. So many people have already done it, Alan.
Just kidding. I'm going to it right now.
Do it.
This
side note for our listeners, I didn't figure out that I had to hold down the button because it's a video, not a snapshot. So if it's not working for you, remember you have to actually hold down the button, because I'm a numpty when it comes to technology. So just in case there's any other numpties out there.
You numpty?
Yeah.
Folly T, Tim, says, as of 2018, Saskatchewan has the highest rate of HIV cases. Fun fact.
Oh, awesome. Well, I guess I can add that to the list. So tonight we are going to be talking about season 2, episode 2. This is When Doves Cry, part 2. So many twos.
Just so everybody knows, When Doves Cry is a song by Prince.
I believe we covered that the last episode.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about the 80s songs that are referenced in every song title, but I already talked about this one in part one, and if you haven't listened, what's wrong with you? All right, continue.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan, for that. The original Canadian air date was September 27th, 2002. The U.S. air date was October 7th, 2002. Seems like the gap is closing a little bit there. Used to be a longer gap in between them. The writers for this episode are Jan Moore and Aaron Martin.
Oh, Aaron. Welcome back.
I feel like whenever we get like the really heavy hitters, it's like Jan Moore swoops in to be a writer on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the director for this one is Bruce McDonald, who also directed the part one of this two-parter. So to start off, we get a little recap of the last episode. We see that JT is trying to date Paige, and Craig is getting beat up by his dad.
Two very different storylines. Like,
uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then we get the inspirational theme music. I know I can make it through.
If I go on.
If I do.
I know I can make it through. How-hoo.
Oh, guys, we'll have to pause the recording. I think I hit watching the Degrassi episode. I think I hit the start of the show again, uh-huh. And it leaked into the audio. So, no. So you're probably going to have to edit that out.
No,
okay?
Ted, it was just us. It was just us.
What? Who? Yeah. Oh. Oh, you guys.
I know I can make it through.
Oh, it started again. Uh-oh.
Oh, I can make it through.
The edits that will be had. Oh, my goodness.
So we open the show on Craig looking at his bruises in the mirror. He's all black and blue on his sides where his dad kicked him at the end of the last show. And we then cut to his dad dropping him off at school and in his convertible with the rag top down.
So what could happen?
so his hair can blow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and the girlies were all standing by, waiting just to say hi.
Hi.
Did you stop?
Well, he did stop to drop his kid off, but then he rolled by.
That doesn't rhyme.
Pursuing to the next stop. Job is dead, though.
He busts a lift and he's heading to the next one. Okay. So Albert hands Craig a huge wad of cash.
This is a bad idea.
He can buy himself a new camera, which presumably Albert broke during his darkroom rampage.
It was the last thing that we saw, the broken camera.
Oh, the broken camera. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he pulls out the wad of cash, buy him a new camera, seemingly to pay him off for having beaten him up. And he says, no hard feelings. And Craig takes the gigantic wad of money.
With and, the money clip.
Yeah, and agrees. So how much cash do we think that this is? We see 100 on top.
I'm guessing 1,000.
And I was like, it like kind of looked like a whole stack of hundreds, but then throughout the show, we kind of see that there's like 20s and 5s in there too.
Like so Craig is buying ice cream later. He's not like buying an ice cream cone and handing over 100.
An old $2 bill. He's like, weren't they these discontinued like a long time ago? It's like, hey, don't hassle me, kid. I'll beat you up.
Yeah. Why wouldn't his dad take him to get the camera? Like, here's a big wad of cash, child. Right before you go into school, you have to walk around all day with $1,000 of cash.
Pay him off, right? It's like classic abuser behavior. It's like, it'll never happen again. Here, everything's great.
Yeah, I that part makes sense. But like, wouldn't it just be like, hey, I'll take you out for school after and get one of those cameras you like. What do you think? Like.
Well, he's a very important surgeon, Alan. He doesn't have time for that shit.
I guess you're right.
He does have time to make roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
I know, however. Jesus.
So in the cafeteria, JT is talking to Toby about still trying to get a date with Paige because apparently he can't take no for an answer, which is a problem in itself. But anyway, lo and behold, Paige appears and tells JT that she has decided that she will go out with him. It will be his treat. As we know, she has agreed to this on a bet so she can get the money to fix her hair. That looks fine. And she's made some kind of bet with Hazel and Spinner. Yeah. In the foyer, Emma meets up with Craig, and they start to talk about how he had to leave the party and the situation with Joey. And, of course, Emma has to insert herself into this situation because she's fucking Emma. And they basically hatch a plan because Emma's going to be babysitting Angela after school. And Craig's dad didn't say anything about him not being able to see Emma. And Craig couldn't have known she was babysitting Angela. And so everything is just going to be tickety-boo.
Oh, and we'll see how this ends. And we'll see how... Does Alan get really mad? We'll see. Stay tuned. Also, when Emma is approaching Craig in the hallway, he's sitting there staring at the cash, which, again, don't give this child cash. Like, don't sit in the hallway of the school looking at $1,000 of cash. Bad idea.
Is it $1,000? I was thinking more like $500.
Okay, that's better then. Stare at $500. It's a fucking high school. If he's got a $10 bill, people are going to be like, get me fries, dude. Like, let's go.
So true.
Yeah, so sweet. Too sweet.
Mm-hmm. So from this point, we pretty much cut straight to after school. Emma and Craig are picking up Angela. And Angela and Craig want to go to the park, but Emma has homework that she needs to get started on. Craig convinces her that he will take Angela to the park. Is this a good idea?
She asks... Yeah, like, and Emma, like, they're all kind of talking this through, right? Through the logic of, well, if you just happen to be picking up Angie and you just happen to be doing this. Like, they're outwardly scheming about how this child is going to be looked after in a way that her father will not know. So, it is not good.
But yeah, Emma just willingly lets someone that she's only known a couple of days take her babysitting charge away.
Absolutely.
Theoretically, she's also getting paid for this.
Double win. She doesn't have to take care of the kid, and she gets paid. I see nothing wrong with this. Can't wait. Can't wait to hear what happens in this episode. Go right ahead.
And will I be upset? We'll see right away. It's coming.
You'll find out. Stay tuned.
Angela and Craig are playing in the park. At first I thought it was raining, but then I realized it was like the splash pad situation.
Craig's like, I took secret photos of you here about a week ago.
So. I was here. She was like, I was here. And it was like, I was too.
And now it's me who's playing with you in the splash pad.
I wish someone was taking pictures of us.
And dropping you backwards and the kid's head snapping and hitting the ground. And I'm like, what? Like, leave that kid alone. Anyways, Craig had her on her shoulders and like drops her backwards and like her head snaps back. And I'm like, ugh, that's bad. Anyways.
But he's her brother. What could possibly go wrong? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Angela, as they're tussling, accidentally hits one of Craig's bruises on his side, and he says, ouch, and she asks him what the bruises are, and he tells her that it was a dinosaur that bit him.
Or a headstone.
Craig then starts to float the idea of going where dinosaurs can't get them, in the magical land of British Columbia.
So now he's talking openly about the kidnapping that he is planning. This is really fucking great. I love where this is going. Craig, hero.
Yeah, he is the sympathetic character in this episode.
Like, fucking dude. I get that you want to run away. You want to go to British Columbia or just anywhere that's not your fucking house. Why would you abduct a child?
Like, what's he... Yeah. What's he going to do with this kid? Like, okay, you got any skills? Like, you got any hobbies I can put on your resume? Like, what is he going to do with a child? Like, ugh.
And of course, he has the means to do this because his dad handed him a fucking wad of cash. Again, if his dad had just took him to the store and bought the goddamn camera, then Craig would have no means of getting away. But he's got cash. Mm-hmm. So
abusers, listen up.
Yeah.
Don't hand your victim cash.
Fuck.
And now I'm about to get very upset. I'm just saying. I'm about to get unreasonably upset. Yeah.
So meanwhile, Joey has closed up the dealership for some unknown reason. We don't know. But he drops by Emma's place to pick up Angela, who, of course, is not there. He questions Emma about where she is, and Emma reluctantly tells him that Craig has taken her to the park. And then she tries to lecture Joey on whether Craig should see Angela or not.
Fuck you.
He's gonna blow.
Joey is reasonably pissed off about the situation, and Emma's like, Joey, he's her brother. And I'm like, you little fucking bitch. Like, seriously.
Like, I'm 12 years old and I have an opinion on this.
Like, talking up to the adult using his fucking first name, like your buddies? Get the fuck out of here. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. I'm spent. Joey does rightly tear a strip off of her and then jumps into his car, presumably to rush to the park to retrieve Angela.
He's like, yeah, I mean, like, does Emma not have any fault in this situation? Like,
well, I mean, Joey has to go and fucking deal with the situation at hand. So he's, you know, like, I wouldn't stick around talking to that little fucking... Anyways... I would
when you're charged with watching a child, you can't just pawn them off on someone else.
Oh no, like, Joey has a situation to deal with though, right? Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm talking about fucking Emma, who's an idiot.
Yeah, like when he's done, when Joey has his child back, you know, in his custody, then the next place to go is back to fucking Spike's place to be like, what the fuck is wrong with your dumb fucking daughter? Like, seriously.
I'm never using your babysitting services ever again.
Yeah, which, of course, he does 20 minutes later. But anyways, fuck.
But, like, it doesn't matter that, like, they're brother and sister or anything like that. Like, if you specifically are charged with watching a child, you can't just give that child to someone else. Like, that doesn't...
Oh,
that's not how babysitting works.
Hold on. Slow down. Slow down, genius. Go through that one more time. So I get paid to take care of the kid, and I don't take care of the kid, and I don't get paid? Sounds backwards to me. Anyways.
Probably rude and offensive. I used to give my kid the big kids I babysat away all the time, and now I'm a teacher. It's fine.
Daddy gotta get paid.
Tim says, of course Emma has no problems. She was a fatherless Neil Nadel born to a 13-year-old millennial. She gets to have her opinion. Except that Spike was not a millennial. Spike was like solidly Gen X.
She's Gen X, yeah. Hardcore.
So we switch to the mall. We see JT waiting for Paige. And did you guys notice in the foliage behind JT is Toby's webcam fucking thing?
No.
Yes! And I'm like, what the fuck? What is this fucking subplot that never made it? So, like, am I to understand that Toby is hiding in a ficus? Like, filming them? Right now? Is that what this is supposed to be?
And he's doing something else. Well, I still guess. Not so safe, like, for work.
You know, like, so Paige arrives with a hoodie and sunglasses obscuring her identity, which on the surface is like, this is dumb. But, like, clearly she's being filmed by fucking Toby.
I mean, I didn't notice this, and it doesn't turn into anything, but it's kind of interesting. Like, is it an Easter egg? I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, like, on the surface, Paige is obscuring her identity. She's wearing a hoodie, sunglasses, and, like, this is stupid. We get it. She's embarrassed to be seen in public with JT. And, like, the fact that she's being filmed, it gives it a little bit more clout that this is necessary and not just needlessly cruel.
Well, we know that Craig goes around taking people's photos, so maybe this is just the universe that they live in. Like, anybody can be taking photos.
Craig, what are you doing?
It's a warning to all of us.
Yes, it is.
It's a warning, guys.
I'm not sure why JT wants to go out with Paige, honestly. She seems...
Well, I mean, I don't know if you watched the first season of this series, but JT is stupid.
Listen, this podcast is getting too heady for me. Yeah. Like, first it's Arlo, now it's Alan. I don't know.
So much academia.
I didn't pick that up. I'm not a genius in the first season.
I'm just saying. In the first
episodes, yes.
It's really fun to go out with someone who mutually likes you back.
Yeah, but I think this kind of speaks to, like, you know, the mean girl, the hot girl that every guy wanted to date and none of us knew why sort of thing. Like, there's no logical explanation for it. It just is what it is.
But JT gives her a little green bear. But I mean, you don't want to go out with her for a personality, right? Like, you want to go out with her for the social status. And does that make you any better or worse than the bitchy girl? Like, no, you don't care about her fucking personality. You just want to go out with her because she's popular. Like, that's kind of a bitchy thing to do too.
No, you just kind of described life.
Yeah.
Or you could go out with someone who mutually likes you back, and you can have a wonderful time. Ugh. Anyway, JT gives her the little green bear, and they go in to see the movie.
And the little green bear also has a camera in it.
Is this a Beanie Baby? I think this is a Beanie Baby.
It's a Build-A-Bear.
It's a little mini Build-A-Bear.
Just before we get any further, Kelly in the comments said the actor who played Toby has been interviewed about the webcam thing, and he has no recollection of what it was supposed to be. So.
Lies.
That is such a fucking lie, you fucking
like, what? What webcam? What? Come on.
Dude, at least he's a fuck... Like, unless he's, like, a fucking drug addict or something, like, there's no way he doesn't remember.
Lost to history. The Library of Alexandria, and now this. Oh, what a shame.
I heard that the webcam is actually the next item in the Degrassi auction that's going on right now. And there are three people bidding on it right now, and the bids are up to $14,500. So Joey's going to drop the reserve, and the winner is Terry. And Terry's like, I'm going to flip this. So...
Who are you again?
Go back to our review of the Degrassi story a couple of episodes ago if you want to know what the fuck I'm talking about here.
Jeremy, never heard of you.
Oh my god. Anyways.
Okay, so Joey arrives at the park, but Angela and Craig are nowhere to be found. Obviously, Joey is very concerned and starts calling for them, searching for them. Back to Craig. They have left the park, and Craig is buying Angela ice cream. He starts to talk about BC again, and he is just about to... Oh, I should probably mention for our listeners from other countries who aren't maybe as familiar with Canada, BC, or British Columbia, is on the West Coast. So if you were in, like, the States, it would be like, we're going to go to California.
If you were in, like, New York.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Toronto, where they're at, is not, you know, it's obviously not on the Atlantic Ocean, like on the coast, but it is considered Eastern Canada. So they are going all the way out west on a bus, like 40 plus hours. Fucking Craig, man. Like, good plan, dude.
Dude, it's more than 40 plus hours. When I was young and adaptable and not old and crotchety, I totally did Winnipeg to Victoria a few times when I was living in Victoria. My family was in Winnipeg, and it was 47 hours from Winnipeg to Victoria. And I've also done like Ottawa to Winnipeg when I lived in Ottawa, and I think it's like 42 hours. Something like Christ. That. And imagine that with a fucking 4-year-old.
Yep.
Like, it would be like 80 hours on the fucking Greyhound.
He also pulls out the wad of cash again, and Angie's like, is that $1 million? And I'm like, no, stupid.
Dumb kid.
Yeah, can't you count, dumb?
Dumb jerk.
And he's about to take her to the bus station, which again, like, no, he's got $1,000, a 4-year-old, and no other clothing, like nothing. Like, he's going to get stopped, like, at the bus station. I mean, I know that they probably don't really give a shit, but they're like, you and this child with no luggage are going to Vancouver? Cool. Like,
yeah.
Have I mean, trip. To be fair, there is not a ton of, like, there's not a ton of checking at the
I'm bus assuming station. That at some point, like, people are going to sit on that bus and be like, this isn't, like, I don't know. I feel like somewhere in the 80 hours, as we've calculated, it will take him to get to BC. Like, someone's going to be like, this is odd.
No, I don't think that happens. That only happens.
I used to take the bus a lot because I was afraid of flying. And then I got hypnotherapy, which helped me with my fear of flying. That's another story. But it totally worked for me, by the way. If you're struggling with a phobia, I totally recommend it. It feels like it won't work, and then it totally does. End of rant. I took a lot of buses. A lot of buses.
With four-year-old? Like,
I would never do that in a million fucking years.
Let's all remember that somebody got decapitated on a Greyhound.
That was in Portage la Prairie, 45 minutes from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I was driving across Canada at the time, and I was one day ahead of that bus. And I stopped in, where was it? Because it happened in Winnipeg. It happened in Manitoba, right?
Portage la Prairie.
There you go. And I was in, Saskatchewan at the time, I think.
I have a friend. This is terrible. So I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. I have a friend who shall remain nameless, who is busted for a crime. And
was your friend's name Arlo?
And was very worried that the next day that their name was going to be printed in the newspaper. And sort of in the back of their mind, they were like, please let there be a big news story so that my name doesn't get printed in the paper. And then the very next day, it was that Greyhound bus story, and they have felt guilty about it ever since.
That's why it happened. He paid the dude to fucking chop the guy's head off and eat him on the bus. Which, for our American listeners, I mean, this was a story that was broadcast. It was a story that was broadcast everywhere because it was so, like, horrific. But yes, in Canada, we may not have, like, mass shootings every week, but on this bus trip, from Edmonton to Winnipeg, a guy like decapitated another guy and started to eat him. And
it's so, it was such a horrible story. Yeah. My God.
So yeah. There you go.
He was, he had
way to way to drag down the episode that I'm hosting, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Well, Alan didn't think that a guy could kidnap a 4-year-old, and I just had to prove him wrong.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, they're about to head to the bus station, which...
Head.
Fuck, don't do that.
Jesus.
Fucking Courtney.
Pew, pew, pew. And we're back, everybody.
The first. All right. Just then, Joey drives up and finds them. Angela runs to hug her dad, and Angela, because she's a child, lets it slip that Craig was going to take her to BC. So Joey freaks out, tells Craig to stay away from Angela. Craig says that he can't do that, but Joey is adamant.
Yes, because he was about to kidnap his child. So yep. Yes. Joey is justified.
Yes. Later at Craig's house, Craig is just sitting at the table with some golf balls, contemplating life, I guess, and hit.
And like a 9-iron, like a club.
Well, Craig doesn't have the club. He's got the balls.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes.
The dad will have the 9-iron in a second.
His dad arrives home, and his dad's all nice right now. Asks if he got a camera. And Craig tells him the camera he wanted costs a bit more than what he had, which we know is a lie. He didn't go camera shopping. He was going to use the money to run away.
And his dad says, oh, that's okay. We can go to the shop together, which is what he should have done in the fucking first place.
Hear that, abusers. Don't.
Yes. Jesus.
So they make some plans to eat some Chinese food that the dad brought home, and they will go together to get a camera because his dad's a really good haggler, which makes me wonder if he's just like, give me the price I want.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But then the phone rings and his dad answers. It's Joey, and Craig immediately knows that Joey's going to tell his dad everything about what happened, and he's going to be in serious trouble. And his dad is going to kick his ass. So he sprints to his room, locks the door. He has 3 locks on his door. And
which, again, I thought was weird in the first place. Like,
it's like a hotel.
What kind
lock.
Of kid has 3 locks on their door?
I talked to my husband about it, and he's always had, like, multiple locks on his door because of that.
Oh, that's awful.
Right?
Yeah.
But Craig starts throwing his shit into a bag. He quickly dials Sean and asks if he can hang out. I'm not sure why he would call before leaving the house. I would have just gotten the fuck out.
Because it doesn't make for a good TV.
I mean, he could have just, like, he has all that money. He could have found a payphone, right? Like,
He could have brought his cell phone with him and called Sean when he was out of the house.
Well, maybe he doesn't have it. Like, I thought he was calling on, like, a cordless phone. Which, like, landlines were still pretty common in 2002. It's not like he wasn't on a cell phone. He was on a cordless phone. And maybe he doesn't have a cell phone, but...
It wasn't as climactic as I thought. I thought he was going to smash through the window or do the tuck and roll on the lawn.
Like, well, there is some smashing that's going to be happening.
Yeah, I mean...
It's pretty fucking dramatic.
But yeah, like, his dad, like, Craig's dad is stalking up the stairs. He starts trying to break down the door with a golf club.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, this is a dangerous situation. We, you know, are led to believe that Craig would get beat with a golf club.
Yes. This dad is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. Had the door not been there, Craig would have taken the golf club beating. But as it is, Craig escapes out of the window with some of his belongings.
Also, the dad has, like, says he has all this money. He has these hollow core doors. I figured they'd be hardwood doors. Come on, surgeon. Like, come on. Pony up and pay for some good doors. He shouldn't be able to get that, because if that was hardwood, he would just be hitting against it.
Like, yeah, like, couldn't haggle for any better doors there, dude.
Yeah, it's like at Home Depot going, okay, give me better doors. And they're like, get at it. Sir, I'm calling the manager.
He's a surgeon, not a door expert.
You're correct. Yep. That is a job, door expert.
A tale as old as time.
So we're back to JT and Paige's date. It's after the movie, and they're
having a bite. I love how we go from like the almost murder. Now let's go to the JT and Paige are at the mall. Wah, wah, wah.
They are telling each other super lame cheerleader jokes, but we get the idea that they're bonding over this.
Well, what's a cheerleader's favorite drink? Anyone?
Ugh.
Bleach, because have you seen their hair? Just kidding.
It's root beer.
Root beer.
Get it? Root.
Root beer. And Paige acts like she's offended. She's like, oh, you would tell a cheerleader joke to last year's head cheerleader, but then she tells her own joke back.
And it's comedy gold.
Yeah, what's the difference between North Park cheerleaders and a bag of trash? Trash gets taken out more often. they both laugh and they're having a good time, and then the record scratches because Hazel and Spinner show up.
They are interrupted by Spinner and Hazel, who are both wearing sunglasses, so it's like they were spying the whole time or something. They were going incognito. Not sure.
That's not conspicuous at all. Somebody wearing sunglasses inside. it's not a good look.
Hazel, like, witheringly points out that Paige looks like she's actually having a good time. And then she pays Paige the bet money right in front of JT, like a total biatch.
And JT's like, you're wrong, Paige. The root beers are on you.
If only he had so much dignity. JT asks her if just point blank asked her if she got paid to go out with him, and Paige just says, sue me, and leaves.
Uh-huh. Doesn't give a fuck.
No. Well, and Degrassi doesn't, like, the franchise doesn't actually give a fuck either. Like, we don't really get any of JT's reaction to this.
No.
I mean, this is, like, grade A bullying.
Spinner tells JT that wet dream time is over, also, so.
Just kind of brushes this off. Like, yeah. Oh, Paige will be Paige. And JT is just like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, this level of cruelty would leave emotional scarring.
Absolutely.
In real life. Like, this is not funny. This is not cool.
Yeah.
I think it's both funny and cool.
Says the gross.
You bully.
Stole her locker maid's diary.
Mm-hmm. I gave it back.
After reading it and posting several sections online.
Okay, there wasn't an online when I stole it.
You probably said to her, you know, hey, I stole this and read it. Now you have something else to write about. Here you go. Handed it back.
That is exactly what I said. And yeah. I didn't read all of it. I read a couple pages.
So on the diary story, total like non sequitur here, but Jamie, who was on this podcast with us, in 1995, we went to In Your House 4, the worst WWF pay-per-view ever. But before that pay-per-view, I had to do a performance in a school with my pipe band. So Jamie came with me, and it was on a Sunday. So he was just roaming the hallways of the school bored. And there was a locker that was open, and he opened it up. And it was clearly some girl's locker. And she had a photo of her and Keanu Reeves, and he took it.
Oh, no.
What?
No. Jamie, no.
Random girl, if you're listening.
Yep.
Now you know what happened.
Yeah. And I forget what it was. I don't think it was a band or something like that. There was some project and he wanted to name it Me and Keanu. So.
Oh my God. Does he still have it?
I don't think so. Well, actually, that's not true. I was going to say he's a hoarder. He's not a hoarder, but he keeps a lot of stuff.
A shoebox.
Yeah, like he's probably got it stored somewhere. I'll have to ask him.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
As I finished trying to defend myself and say I'm not mean, Tyrell commented and reminded me that I pranked the children's health as well.
Thank you, Tyrell, for keeping Courtney honest.
Don't
Thank
act you. Like everyone out there. Don't act like you never did something like that.
Yeah, fess up.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Or make it up. Make Courtney feel better.
Come on. No, it's fine. It's fine. I got bullied enough. I'm fine with what I did too.
Is that why you lash out to other people, Courtney?
Mm-hmm.
Do I lash out?
Okay, so we cut to Craig and Sean walking along the train tracks. I don't know.
Singing
Is this still possible? Like, all of the train tracks that I know of that go through cities are now fenced off.
Like, it's not just... Are they in a rail yard? Like, there's a lot of train tracks around them, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not like you're just walking along the train tracks, which you could do, right? Like, there, you get to a railroad crossing and you walk by the train tracks. They're like, there are multiple train tracks. Anyways, yeah, I would agree with you. How would you get to this location?
I mean, there's ways that you can get there, but it's, like, a lot harder than maybe it was in the past. And if it is a rail yard, like, the train that will be coming up could not have been going very quickly. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Ottawa, even, there's readily accessible train tracks. They're not fenced off or anything. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I stand corrected.
Although you are correct in Newfoundland. There are no trains in Newfoundland.
Zero. Well, there's train cars, but they're like on display. There are no train tracks anymore.
This is a train.
It's a train. We hardly knew ye. There's a plaque there, a bronze plaque.
Is there really no trains?
Sans trains.
I thought there was like a Via Rail situation that was going on down there.
No, it kept driving in the ocean, and then they're like, Newfoundland doesn't have any train tracks to receive you. Sorry, CN Rail.
That's fair.
Since the 80s. I saw one when I was a kid, but after that, they took up all the train tracks. Now there's a trailway which you can, like, I don't know, hike on and stuff like that. So,
dude, yeah. Trains are so cool. Like, they're so absolutely awesome. It is my favorite way to travel. If you ever have the opportunity to go, like, across Canada on Via Rail, fucking do it. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. It's
grab a 4-year-old and go.
Just any 4-year-old. 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. I went from Ottawa to New York, and that was pretty cool. It's kind of nice. But
there's a difference between passenger trains, like where it's like you're like a train, but it's like you're sitting on a bus, and like long term, like transcontinental trains.
Oh, I
transcontinental trains are like fucking luxurious and amazing. And I highly recommend it to anyone. If anyone is looking for, like, a luxury vacation, you're just like, what are we going to do? Take a fucking transcontinental train across Canada. It is amazing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, hobo style. Like, grab your bindle and, like, run up next to the train and jump in an empty car. No, okay.
I mean, I guess, if you're Sean and Craig here.
With the wallet chain. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of halfway there.
Did you guys have wallet chains at the time when it was
Yeah,
cool?
I did. I went to my local Napa and got me some length of chain and hooked that up to my wallet.
I did not have a wallet chain.
Really?
No. That seems like something you'd have, Alan.
Nope. Never had a wallet chain.
Did you consider it?
Nope. Never thought about it. I had friends who had them, though, but I never had one.
Okay, yeah. Well, you were
I had no style. Like, I've never had any style, ever.
come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Agree.
You got style.
Craig is telling Sean about his dad and the problems that they're having, and they fight all the time. He tells Sean about wanting to go to BC, and Sean does not think that this is a good idea. He tells him that he'll just end up on the streets, which is accurate.
Well, and then Craig says, well, then come with me, which is not a solution to that problem.
They can look out for each other. But Sean is like, no. Nope. Sean figures out that Craig is being abused at home and asks him about it. But before they can really get into it, a train starts heading towards them on the track. So Sean moves off the track. But Craig starts playing chicken with the train. And Craig is just laughing maniacally. And Sean is freaking out for him to get off the tracks. And then as the train approaches, it seems like Craig gets a look on his face that is, as best as I can describe, as l'appel de vide, which is a French term that I learned, which translates to call of the void. And it is the inexplicable impulse that you get to, like, fling yourself off a mountain or turn your car into incoming traffic. This inexplicable impulse that you get to fling yourself into the void. And that's how I interpreted the look on his face in that moment. Finally, at the last minute, Sean tackles him off the tracks, and we get an incredibly gratuitous flying skateboard shot.
Well, it's like the skateboard shot is like the did he or didn't he get run over by the train?
Yeah.
I would have loved like a sliding doors thing here where like he makes it and then everything's okay. And well, I guess there's only one other option.
And you find out that his leg has been cut off.
No. But it's his leg goes flying up next to the skateboard.
And then finds the skateboard and lands it and does the ollie. Bam!
Electric guitar sting. And yeah, we have a new offshoot spinoff. Craig's leg. God.
Craig and leg.
Craig leg.
Yeah. Craig is laughing like a psycho, and then he gets up and he's like he sprints away and he's like, ah, ha, 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 woo. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, like Sean met this dude like 2 days ago. I'd be like, I don't think I'm hanging out with him anymore. Like, it's a lot.
But he's a cutie, but he's going to get the chicks.
He's like, I don't care how many BJs I'm going to get from, like, you know, Craig leftovers. I'm out of here.
Yeah, this guy is fucking Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. Craig leaves his bag and a skateboard behind and takes off like a fucking maniac.
So on the Degrassi fandom page, under deleted scenes for this episode, when the N, also known as Teen Nick, aired this episode, the scene where Craig nearly kills himself is removed. The guys are shown on the tracks, but after Sean asks Craig if his dad hits him, it abruptly cuts to Craig running away, which is kind of funny. So he's like, does your dad hit you? Ah, woo! And he's running.
Yeehaw!
Should also note, deleted in this episode, the DVD version includes a scene where Miss Kwan's class is in the gym and Craig gives that monologue. It was not aired on TV. So the censors felt that it was too dark. Miss Kwan, of course, cool with it. She's just like, say what you want. And
Good job, Craig.
Yeah, and there's another scene coming up that I won't spoil.
Okay, so speaking of fucking deleted or missing scenes, Sean is obviously concerned about Craig, and so off screen he goes to Emma?
Yep.
Why the fuck is Emma here?
Yep.
Like, Emma and Sean are not friends. Why would Sean go to Emma first? What we see is that we're at Joey's house, and Emma and Sean bust in.
Walk into his house.
Yeah, apparently ringing the doorbell or knocking was out. And apparently Joey doesn't lock his doors. They're just all of a sudden in his fucking kitchen.
I have so many questions here. Like,
me too.
There are so many things that don't make sense. So, presumably Sean went to Emma for whatever reason, like, as opposed to Joey. Maybe he doesn't know Joey. I don't know. But he goes to Emma, and Emma and him don't go to Spike, who is Joey's friend, who is at their fucking house all the time. Emma's just like, I'll solve this, which is actually plausible. Fuck.
She's a wide sage, Alan.
And yeah, and then they just walk into Joey's house and they're like, hey, dude, here's what's going on. Like, yeah, and Sean and Emma, cool as fucking can be.
Okay, the only way that this makes sense to me, like, I could make it make sense, is that Sean is like, okay, what do I know about Craig? I know that Angela is his little sister because we've been talking about it. So he's like, okay, I know that Emma babysits Angela. So he goes to Emma and says, hey, there's a problem with Craig. I need to get a hold of Joey. Do you know where Joey is? And then Emma, being Emma, inserts herself into the fucking situation. So they go over to Joey's house to talk to Joey about it. And they didn't talk to Spike because Spike is working late hours at the fucking salon or whatever the fuck she does.
Sure. I'm with you. We've explained it. That's in canon. That's, now.
That is the best that I could do here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, at Joey's house, Emma and Sean explain the situation with Craig, and Joey just wants to call his dad right away. But they explain that Craig's dad is the problem because he beats Craig. And Joey is very cautious to believe this serious accusation. But then Angela pipes up about how she saw the bruises on Craig's side where the dinosaur, quote-unquote, bit Craig.
Yeah. Joey, at first they're like, Craig was playing chicken with a train and ran off. And Joey's first thing is he's like, what do you want me to do? And then he's like, I'll call Craig's dad. It's like,
thanks, Joey.
Like, you're kind of his, like, pseudo-stepdad still, kind of, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get that he's going to call the dad. Like, that's ultimately what you should do. But the sentiment, like, what do you want me to do? Like, come on, Joey.
So Joey finally gets it and then asks Emma to stay with Angela. And Joey and Sean go to look for Craig. They search, but they are not having any luck because Emma is fucking Emma. She decides to go through Craig's personal belongings while she's waiting.
Question, did anybody ask her to do this or allow her to do this? She's like, well, I guess I'll just pick through some shit at Joey's house.
Well, yeah, it is my personal fucking business, so I might as well.
And I know you, and you said that Emma inserts herself into the any situation. One word that I would put before that would be forcibly inserts herself into the situation, because that's Emma's MO, is forcible insertion.
By the way,
and it's genetic. She gets it from her dad. Inserts himself into situations should not.
No, it was consensual. It was consensual.
Getting a big pop on the chat, Tyrell's comment, Angela can't keep any secrets. True.
Fucking true, man.
Just a big mouth on that one. Like, shit, come on.
Yeah, you narc.
She's probably wearing a wire. Hey, yo, Angela.
Snitches get stitches, yeah. That's right.
Or snitches end up in ditches, am I right?
Come see, come saw.
So Emma finds Craig's photo album, and she sees that he's preoccupied with his dead mom. And at that exact moment, Joey calls and asks if Craig has checked in at all or been in contact. And obviously he hasn't, but Emma suggests, because she's the fucking hero, checking out Craig's mom's grave site.
Hate.
Uh-oh. He's hulking up again.
No, that's all I have to say. Hate. Hate this.
Oh, come on.
I don't blame Emma for this. I blame the fucking writers. Like, Emma will solve the problem. Like, Joey doesn't have any fucking clue, but Emma can see into Craig's soul now because they've hung out for 3 days. Like, Emma. Fuck off. Anyways.
Emma, child detective.
Okay, so Julia Jeremiah, can we assume that the abuse was not that bad at the time that she left, so that she was not just leaving
her child
there to be abused?
My assumption is that the abuse came after, because she would have told Joey, he's beating the shit out of me or the child. Like, Joey has no idea, right?
Right, right.
And, like, he's, like, when he's told this guy beats Craig up, he's like, that's a very serious accusation. And I'm like, you fucking hate that dude. Like, you know he's a piece of shit, Joey.
Yeah. Jump on it.
Like, at the very least, you would think that Joey's dead wife. I guess it makes her an ex-wife, too.
Yeah, it's kind of the same.
I mean, same. Albert's ex-wife, Joey's dead wife.
Yeah, would have been like, yeah, Albert's a piece of shit. Like, so, I don't know.
Maybe he wasn't as much of a piece of shit at the time that she left.
Once a piece of shit, always a piece of shit.
Maybe he was, and like she was like at the time of her death, she was like trying to get custody, and it was like through the courts, and then she like passed away, and then it's just like, well, sorry, Joey Jeremiah, you have no paternal rights, so bye.
What's more plausible is that he was probably the nicest guy in the world, and then she left him and ruined him. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's the incel version.
Yeah, it's all her fault.
Yeah, I think it's a woman's fault.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Incel.
Yeah.
Follow my blog at rebel.com/AlanTheIncel. I'm an incel.
Tyrell noted, as I actually wrote in my notes too, Joey knows about abusers because of Rick's dad.
Mm-hmm. Again, though, he got a Coke.
He did. Can't even see a Coke now without having shed tears.
I think it's interesting that for as long as this fucking storyline drags on and is as slow as it is, we still have so many questions. Right?
Maybe they will be answered in the future.
Well, again, like, okay, so if you followed Degrassi from the very, very beginning, like, you know who Joey is, but if you don't and you're just watching Next Gen, you've got these two episodes that start season two. It's like, Craig is important. Joey's important. You just need to care about this. There's this whole backstory to them. Fucking nothing touched upon in the first episode or in the first season whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
Like
the producers were just like, man, we got to get Joey in there.
Joey in there? And none of us are remotely experts about anything, but we do like have listeners who are. Like Bethany is a social worker, I think. And she points out in the comments that like, there's a lot of issues with how this has played out. And Sea Shanty Tim said he's a teacher. You legally have to call if a student comes to you with those kinds of accusations.
I believe that Tim actually said, we legally have to call if a student comes to us with anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I missed that part. Thank you for clarifying. And then Tyrell chimes in that maybe Joey makes people abusers.
Everybody that's around Joey.
Ouch. Time to take a long, hard look in the mirror, Joey. All right, so Joey and Sean go to the cemetery, and Craig is there! Huzzah! Joey tries to talk to Craig and tells him that he just wants to help him. Craig is not being particularly receptive to this.
I mean, this is... Oh, go ahead.
Freaking out. No, he's just freaking out. Go ahead.
Well, this is... I mean, it's supposed to be obviously be a difficult scene to watch, but I did laugh when Craig's like, Sean told you about that? Well, he's a liar. Liar! I laughed. I'm sorry.
Sean's not here, man. Like, why are you saying that?
No, Sean was there.
He was,
oh, sorry. Yeah,
he was like, he is the background lurking behind a fucking
headstone.
Yeah.
So much lurking in these two episodes.
Oh, a headstone. That's
Oh, that's hey.
Hugh Dillon comes out. He's like, you know, you could get my CD free in a box of beer in the 90s. Remember the 90s,
then,
kids?
And they're like, no, we don't. Melch back into the hedge like Homer
said. Yeah. Coming to air some free tickets to my show. Like,
Joey tries to calm Craig down. Craig tells him he has nowhere to go. And Joey point blank asks him if it's his dad, what his dad does to him, and suggests that his dad beats him. And Craig finally admits that he does. He bursts into tears, and him and Joey hug it out.
And Joey says, I once got a Coke from my friend Rick. So I know. I know, Craig.
I know what it's like, Craig.
Yeah.
I feel bad because the Coke was actually really good. And
I've still got...
Then Albert takes out his golf club.
And Joey's like, I'm sure that Emma's at home right now and she's rooting through my shit and has found the jean jacket that I bought from Rick.
And Craig is like, of course she is. Have you met her?
Yeah.
And then Craig's dad's like, I gotta go.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, bye.
All right. Next day at school, Paige, whose hair looks exactly the same,
uh-huh,
approaches JT and gives him what is possibly the bitchiest apology, quote unquote apology, of all time because of, quote, residual guilt.
She says to him, if you weren't 5'1" and in a subterranean social strata, then I'd consider going out with you. And JT takes this as a compliment. Like, it's basically I would go out with you if you weren't a total piece of shit in my eyes and I wasn't into you. Then I would go out with you.
Like, you'd rather nothing. Just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was really needing JT to have a little bit of self-respect.
And being like, you know what? Fuck you. Like, I've changed your nice score to a 0 on the Toby meter.
Yeah, take that.
What do you think of that?
So what is the purpose of all this? Like, JT is an extremely stupid person with no concept of what human emotion is. And we know Paige is terrible, but, like, that's, I think, is that the lesson? Paige is terrible, JT feels nothing.
Guilts her into giving him a kiss on the cheek. Paige has no repercussions. JT has no dignity. Paige learns nothing. JT learns nothing. There is no lessons to be learned in the subplot. Like, yay.
Yeah, well, like, we're supposed to sit there and be like, aw, how sweet. Like, it ended well. And it's like, this ended poorly. This is not sweet. This is fucking terrible.
All it did was end. Like, that's all. What do you get, viewer? Well, I guess the show's over soon. Anyways, bye.
It was comic relief? Question mark? Like, it wasn't. Like, it's like awful.
He doesn't have a face twinge of like, oh, this is bad. Like, I feel bad. Like, JT learns nothing. And it's just like, I'm going to shoot for the heavens. I'm going to shoot for this girl who's a terrible person. And she doesn't feel like, I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get it. There's no payoff.
Before you move on, should also mention, apparently, none of the versions that we watched had scenes that were in the original airing where Sean runs to Emma's house and Emma is on the porch. So they do show the conversation. Or they did at one point in time. And also, apparently, when JT and Paige were watching the movie, Hazel and Spinner were laughing in the background.
Nice. You go.
Yeah.
Mm. Porchy, porchy. That would also cut out. Yeah, I agree. There's a couple comments. Bethany says, like, she doesn't feel bad for JT in this scenario.
You should feel bad for JT in the scenario.
Why?
He should make you feel bad for him. He's the victim here.
No, he's not.
This isn't cute. This is horrible bullying.
But, you know, counterpoint, as I've said a number of characters before, he's incredibly stupid. Like, he doesn't get it. So, I don't know. Is it bullying?
Like, have a little self-respect. Have a little dignity. He wants a kiss. Be hurt. That's it.
Okay, no. But if he doesn't have that capability, why would I feel bad for him? Like, he doesn't have the ability to, like, feel hurt or sad, so I don't either.
Brittany 2.0 on the Degrassi fandom page would agree with, I guess, more with Courtney. I don't know. They say, JT's crush on Paige was so cute. Too bad they never officially started dating. I'd actually ship them.
We've had a discussion about this.
Yep.
The ship. So
did any of you know what that meant?
No.
Before I told you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you did?
Because I'm hep with the kids.
Oh, yeah. You're so hep.
And they heard you say hep and they're like, narc, narc, narc.
Yeah,
like,
it means
no,
you, you picture them in a relationship. So you ship them.
So also 9021 Degrassi said, Craig's dad was an ass, to which RX Queen said he was a fucking monster, to which Campbell Saunders says he was a big, scary purple monster.
What which, the
if he was
fuck?
Showing his big, scary purple monster, we'd have a different kind of problem here.
Very, mm-hmm. Very apt.
Yeah.
Bethany points out, and I think she's on my team, JT also continued to pursue someone who told him no.
That is also true.
True.
Hmm.
That's true. I can't defend that.
Yeah, you can't.
No means no, kids.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Bethany also says, guys need to learn to take no for an answer. Tyrell says capital H-E-P. I don't know what that means.
Hep, because Arlo said she was hep.
Hepatitis? Oh, hep. Hip. Got it.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. So three lessons from today. One, I don't have hepatitis. Thank you, Courtney. Two.
What?
Abusers, don't give your victims cash. Give them, go to them. Go with them to the store.
Exactly.
Instead.
Yeah.
That's the third lesson.
The third lesson is we're so close to the end of this episode.
Okay, all right. Okay, here we go.
No, we're not.
Okay, so sorry. Craig and Joey are sitting outside Craig's house in Joey's car. They're going over the game plan of how this is going to go when Craig goes in to get his stuff. And Craig specifically says, I want to do this alone, which seems like a very bad idea.
Okay, like, this seriously, whole situation
golf
is,
club. Golf
this
club.
Is so unrealistic. Send the abused child back into the house alone with the abuser. Hope he doesn't get the shit kicked out. Like, no, that's so dumb.
Yeah, Joey's just taking care of this. He's like, you'll stay with me. We're not going to get anyone involved. Fuck it. Here we go, dude. Like, Craig
seems very specific to me that they don't want to involve the police.
Okay, so Craig is getting the shit kicked out of him by his dad. He ran away. He almost kidnapped somebody. He almost killed himself. And Joey's like, stay with me. We'll be okay. Like, let's not involve anybody else to help you.
And also go back into the house with your dad and get your stuff.
Golf club.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, this is all fine. This is all fine. Craig goes in to retrieve his stuff. I bet his room is totally trashed, right?
Oh, fucking big time.
Yeah. So presumably he goes upstairs and doesn't even have to open the shredded door.
He just walks through the holes.
Walks in, everything is trashed. But his dad tries to guilt trip him into staying and tries to downplay the abuse.
Oh my God.
Which is pretty classic for abuse. And then Craig flat out says they have three options. He can go to Children's Aid right now, which also will involve the police probably. Go with Joey and try to figure everything out over time, or he can stay there and continue to let this happen.
I mean, there's also an option four where, you know, Craig's dad can end up, you know, offing himself. Spoiler alert.
That's option four. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait, no, there's option five, too, where he pulls out an AR-15 and...
Fuck.
It's only in America.
Yeah, in Canada, we drive cars down the fucking sidewalk instead. So
Vans? Hey. Oh, excuse me, vans?
God, no.
We're back down in the trench again.
Okay, so we then see Joey and Craig driving away from the house with the dad dejected on the lawn. And Joey Jeremiah stealing another family member from Albert.
Also, can I just put one thing in? Albert seems to have lost an arm. He's like, when they drive away, I don't know if you saw it, but he has like an arm behind him. And it just seems like he has one arm. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Anyways. Yeah.
It's like, don't leave me. I already lost my arm.
You can't lose a kid, dude.
Yeah.
Joey took my arm, he took my wife, and he took my kid.
Yeah.
And he's just doing the thing where he's pulling his arm back into his sweater, and it's like, ah!
He can cut it off with a Joey katana. Joey Jeremiah is the best.
I mean, he can fix it. He's a surgeon. He can put that arm back in place.
He could sew that shit up.
I can put my arm back on. You can't.
It turns out he's that guy.
Couple of comments to chime in on before we continue. Rube Dog, our diggity's in the house.
Oh, hello. My hero, Rube Dog.
He let us know some updates on the auction. Joey bid on Craig. Huh.
What?
Whoa.
Joey bid on Craig.
Oh, bid over Craig. Got it.
Tyrell points out Joey is likely running drugs through his car dealership, so he doesn't want the cops involved.
I can see that.
Crystal meth, Breaking Bad, I believe it. I got it.
Yep, I could feel that.
Bethany noticed the arm thing. Rachel says Craig's father deserved it.
Deserved to lose his arm?
Yeah, what did he deserve, Rach?
I'm telling you, you need to watch it again. It's just like, it's like Hugh Dillon has only one arm. That's so weird.
Oh. How is he going to be the successful front man of a Canadian punk band?
He smiles and then wags his shoulder in the air because he can't wave.
The song's called Smile and Wag now.
Oh, no.
Smile
and
Wag.
Oh,
we should mention we've made, because of the missing arm, and there's jokes in the chat about Astar the robot for our American listeners.
Oh, sorry about that, everybody.
There was a infomercial in the, I guess it was in the 80s. I mean, it probably started earlier than that. They've had a few versions of it, but there's kind of a most famous one where there's this robot that looks like C-3PO, let's be honest.
Yeah.
A female C-3PO.
Yeah, going, like, doing fucking gymnastics through this world that is just a factory, basically. Factory
like
parts.
Gears and, like, band saws and things like that.
Yeah, like, for whatever reason, who knows. But at some point after navigating successfully, they fuck up and they get their arm sawed off. But then the arm just gets popped back into place, which wouldn't happen with a robot, by the way. Like, they don't just pop back in. But this robot pops it back in and then tells the kids that their name is Astar, they're a robot, they can put their arm back in, but the kids can't.
Yes.
So don't
play. I can put my arm back on. You can't.
Yeah. So that's the story.
It was for the War Amps of Canada.
Yeah.
It was a PSA for War Amps.
Yeah. So don't play in front of the train.
Of Canada?
I believe it is a charity organization that raises money to
support robots who lose their arms. Factories.
I think it's to help people or kids who have lost their limbs to be able to afford like paraplegic
prosthetics.
The War Amps is a Canadian registered nonprofit organization established in 1918 to meet the needs of war amputees. So they actually take care of 100-year-olds who have no limbs from the war.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Zero.
Today, the association continues to serve them and all Canadian amputees, including children. And there's also CHAMPS, which is a program about giving financial assistance for artificial limbs, regional seminars, and peer support. So,
it was a very prolific PSA for all of us about this age who grew up in Canada. It was played on repeat all the shows we watched.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really, it didn't teach me anything. It was like, oh, I better stay out of like fucking saw factories. Sure.
Yeah.
But if I'm sure everybody who's listening right now follows the Edison Twins on Instagram, but if you don't, you have to. They're a great account that talks about all those like nostalgic commercials, like Patrick, he took out life insurance. Good for you, son.
Did you guys watch the Edison Twins though? Incidentally?
No. They creep me out.
Here comes the Edison Twins.
Yeah, no two days are quite the
same.
Let's get back to the comments. Twins are fucking weird. I'm married to one. Fucking weird. But anyways, Sea Shanty Tim said, why didn't Sean get Tracker to help him sniff out Craig earlier? They had his skateboard.
Where's Craig?
That's such a good question.
It's true.
And Tyrell chimes in, bro, I smell abuse. And then somebody takes off a mask and is like, I'll get you next time, kids.
Yep. All right. Well, what do we have coming up next week?
It's Girls Just Want to Have Fun, everybody.
Oh, there you go. That was a horrible.
I did not recognize
that's
that
how the song starts. Yeah. Skibidi babu doo doo. The girls just want to have a good time. Yeah, like you know
break
how
it down.
Goes. Yeah.
There's a breakdown in that.
You know that I'll have a lot to say about that one because there are wrestlers in the music video. So.
Are there? Yep. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. So next time we have Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Can't wait. I just want to give a special thanks to all of our live listeners particularly who joined in tonight to interact with us. It's always a pleasure. And thank you to all of our listeners in general, not to leave anybody out. But next time, you should log in to be with us live when we do a live one, because then you'll get a special thanks.
Yeah, don't be a dick. Log in next time.
What do you mean, log in?
Shut up.
My name is Arlo. You can catch me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. And Alan?
I'm Alan. Slip with Five Eyes on Instagram and on Twitter and on TikTok. And if you type it into Google, you'll also find me. So there you go. Courtney!
Hi. Just whatever. You know my Instagram. Nobody's new here. Whatever. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. It's always so fun to see you guys. And I can't believe it's been a year. But I did just want to give another shout out to everybody who we've met over this past year. And actually, props to Alan. And I hate giving him props. But
yeah.
This was his whole idea. We had been playing this for a couple of years and it never panned out. And he's put in a lot of hard work, and he does put in a lot of work every week to edit all our bullshit. So thanks, Alan.
Let me just pull down my pants here. My ass is showing. Pucker up.
Anyways, I'm so grateful that we've met all of these amazing people. I actually had no idea that we would we'd meet like super quality people. So hopefully you guys keep sticking around, because you're all so great.
It's such a lovely community. I echo everything that you just said, Courtney.
Oh, let's just all jerk each other off already. Like,
oh my God. Whatever, Alan. Anyways, thank you all for sticking with us and for liking us and listening. I really do appreciate all of you. And till next week when we talk about polar bears.
Is Ted going to say bye too?
No, that's fine. I was going to throw it. I'm Ted to say 1-3. Okay, see you later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I just said I was going to get my ups. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about killing. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, cafe.